From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stephanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id. Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo invites Kokam to safeguard and protect the 2024 elections. Indonesia wants partnership with China to bring prosperity and stability. And here is the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo hopes for the support of the big family of Muhammadiyah to maintain peaceful general election in 2024. This was stated by the President at the grand ceremony of Muhammadiyah Youth Preparedness Command Force, or KOKAM, at Manahan Stadium in Solo, Surakarta, on Wednesday. He believed that Indonesia has been mature in democracy and is ready to face the simultaneous elections in 2024. However, President Joko Widodo doesn't deny the potential for tension in this big agenda.
Saya yakini bangsa kita telah dewasa dalam demokrasi.
I believe Indonesian people have been mature in democracy. But we also cannot deny the potential risks that will keep existing and potential tensions will also remain. This is where the role and contribution of volunteer organizations, youth organizations such as KOKAM Muhammadiyah are very necessary. Moreover, President Joko Widodo also pointed out differences in choices and arguments. Winning and losing are normal things in a democratic party. However, this must not reduce the spirit of unity and the Indonesian nation unity. The president further affirmed that amid uneasy challenges in the future, Indonesia also has the opportunity to leap to become a developed country. President Joko Widodo added that this requires leaders who are consistent, brave to take risks, unite and serve the people. And they are able to work at macro and micro levels. Indonesia expects that its partnership with China can continue to develop and bring prosperity, stability, and opportunity to the people of both countries. May Indonesian partnership continue to grow and bring prosperity, stability, and opportunities to the people of Indonesia and China. This was conveyed by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto at a reception of the 74th anniversary of the founding of People's Republic of China on Wednesday. Hartarto also emphasized that economic cooperation between Indonesia and China is important and the two have established bilateral relations for a long time. Minister of Manpower Ida Fauzia has emphasized the need for improving the implementation of collaborative internship programs between Indonesia and Japan to gain benefits. She believed that if such programs are to be bolstered in terms of their quantity and quality, Indonesia and Japan will gain great benefits. She made the statement during the coordination meeting for organizing overseas internship, theme a multi-stakeholders collaboration for producing a competent workforce through quality overseas internships. During the meeting in Jakarta on Wednesday, she emphasized the government's support for sustainability of internship cooperation between Indonesia and Japan. Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan has said regulation of social commerce sales is a form of government protection for micro, small and medium enterprises. The sales regulation on e-commerce and social commerce aims to protect local MSMEs and to prevent losses. He also remarked that the government will continue to support MSME development since the sector contributes up to 90% to the economy and 60% to the gross domestic product in Indonesia. In addition to protecting MSMEs, the government will also create an entrepreneurial ecosystem that can support the development of MSMEs from small scale to the larger scale. Prime Minister of Lebanon, Najib Mikati, has told the United Nations that Lebanon's political gridlock, the occupation of parts of its territory and the Syrian refugee crisis have led to an unprecedented economic, financial and humanitarian crisis that threatens the very existence of the country. As reported by ArabNews.com, speaking on Wednesday in the general debate of the 78th session of the United Nations General Assembly, Mikati listed the greatest threats to Lebanon's stability and prosperity and called for steps to address his country's plight. He highlighted 2023 as marking the 80th anniversary of Lebanon's independence, adding that over the past 8 decades, Lebanon has been striving to deserve its place among the peace and welfare-loving nations. The government of Poland stated on Wednesday that it will stop providing weapons to Ukraine amid a growing dispute between the two countries over a temporary ban on Ukrainian grain imports. As reported by CNN.com, Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki on the social media pointed out the government no longer transfer weapons to Ukraine because the government is now arming Poland. Poland has long been one of Ukraine's staunchest backers since Moscow's invasion of its neighbor, alongside multiple former Eastern Bloc nations who fear there could be next if Russian President Vladimir Putin's expansionist war is successful. A massive transnational money laundering case that surfaced in Singapore has further swelled to now involve over 2.4 billion Singaporean dollar or around 1.8 billion US dollar in seized or frozen assets. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, this is more than double the original 1 billion Singaporean dollar in total value of luxury cars, houses, cash and other assets thrown up in mid-August after Singapore police raided multiple locations across the island and arrested 10 foreigners. In early September, prosecutors in court then updated the figure to 1.8 billion Singaporean dollars. The police on Wednesday said it had conducted further operations where additional assets were seized and issued with prohibition of disposal orders. Listener, that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Bangkok held Indonesian Cultural Night 2023 to introduce the richness and uniqueness of Indonesian arts and culture to the Thai people. The event was held at the Pik Ganesha Theatre Building, Siam Square 1, Bangkok, on Sunday. In his remarks, Indonesian Ambassador to Thailand, Rahmat Budiman, said that Indonesian Cultural Night 2023, with the theme showcasing Indonesian culture, is part of the annual, ongoing and integrated promotional activities of the Indonesian Embassy in Bangkok, namely the Trade, Tourism, Investment and Culture Forum, or TTICF, which takes place from August to October. As reported in a release from the Indonesian Embassy in Bangkok received by Antara on Monday, Ambassador Rahmat Budiman said that the interaction between the Indonesian and Thai people has long created cultural acculturation, which has created many similarities within the differences, thus coloring the bilateral relation between Indonesia and Thailand in various aspects. He also remarked that Indonesian Cultural Night 2023 can elevate the knowledge and understanding of Thai people regarding the various kinds of Indonesian products, investment opportunities in Indonesia, the richness and uniqueness of arts and culture, as well as interesting tourism attraction. Meanwhile, Speaker of the Thai Parliament, Wan Muhammad Nur Mata, who was the guest of honor, in his speech expressed his admiration for the diversity of ethnicities and cultures, as well as interesting tourism attraction in Indonesia, which are their own attraction. This cultural evening was filled with musical performances, songs and dances from various regions across Indonesia, performed by representatives of districts and several universities in Indonesia. There were also two Indonesian and Thai songs, namely Tapisah 2, Ambon, and Yarm Yen, Love at Sundown, which were sung directly by Ambassador Rahmat Budiman and the Chulalongkorn University Music Group. The Pik Ganesha Theatre, which has a capacity of 1,200 seats, was busy that night with spectators consisting of honored guests from the Thai government, the diplomatic corps, business people, Indonesians, journalists, and alumni who receive Indonesian scholarships, and lovers of Indonesian arts and culture.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back! This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners. From Indonesia to the world.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event of 21st September 2001, International Day of Peace. Each year, the International Day of Peace, IDP, is observed around the world on 21st September. The UN General Assembly has declared this as a day devoted to strengthening the ideals of peace through observing 24 hours of non-violence and ceasefire. At the United Nations General Assembly on 21st September 2001, the General Assembly unanimously designated the day as a period of non-violence. The commemoration was also aimed at strengthening the ideals of peace among all countries in the world. Moving on to September 21st, 2001, Armenian Independence Day. On 21st September 2001, the Armenian people held a referendum to declare their independence from the Soviet Union. On October 1991, Levon Terpetrosyan was elected as the first president of Armenia, gaining 83% of votes. Few months later, international community also officially recognized the country's sovereignty after the dissolution of the Soviet Union. We end today in history with an event on 21st September 1999, Taiwan earthquake. Earthquake with a magnitude of 7.3 hit Taiwan on 21st September 1999. The earthquake killed around 2,415 people and injured more than 11,000 people. This earthquake was the second deadliest earthquake in Taiwan's history after the Shinchiku earthquake Taichu in 1935. The earthquake at the time killed around 3,200 people. The Taiwan earthquake on 21st September 1999 occurred while people were waiting for the annual autumn festival. To commemorate the earthquake, a Kuang Fu school was turned into an earthquake museum, and Wong Fei Earthquake Museum first opened on February 13, 2001. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Lama-lama ku bosan melarangmu, selalu tinggalkanku hampanya diriku, jadi tak menentu. Lama-lama ku sah jatuh cinta kepada dirinya. Maafkanlah aku yang tak bisa menunggu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Director General for Social Forest and Environmental Partnership at the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Bambang Suprianto, said that the people need guidance in managing mangrove forests for carbon investment. This guidance will be the key to opening ecotourism business opportunities through the use of mangrove. In a discussion on blue carbon ecosystem management to achieve Walu Net Sing 2023 in Jakarta on Saturday, Bambang explained that mangrove, as a social forest by the people, is also an effort to support the roadmap of Indonesia's forestry and other land uses or Walu Net Sing 2023, on which carbon storage or absorption is the main goal to reduce emission. Besides, carbon storage in mangrove forests is 6-11 times bigger than the terrestrial forests. He further elaborated that currently there are 3.31 million hectares of mangrove forests in Indonesia, and 422,000 hectares among them involve the people, and 115,000 hectares of which have been handed over as social forests. Therefore, Bambang Suprianto said that there are five matters related to the management issues in achieving Walu Net Sing 2023. The first is using the existing capital or the mangrove forest, and the second is investing in the community so that they want to manage the mangrove ecosystem, while the third one is strengthening mangrove management assistance to the people through NGOs, academics, private sector, and the government itself. Then, the fourth is managing partnership patterns as written in the Presidential Regulation No. 28/2023 on integrated planning for social forestry management acceleration, which regulates that the President is not only assigning the Environment and Forestry Ministry for the social forest, but also involving cross-sectors such as governors, mayors, and regions. The fifth management aspect is strengthening the existing social forest system by improving people's trust and ensuring that the ongoing investment will have a long-term benefit. Bambang Suprianto added that the social forest project or Walu Net Sing only runs for 3 years, but the project with the people will run forever. So the effort sustainability will ensure that the people will get a threefold benefit so that they will also maintain the investment sustainability.
Kesal dengan jarak yang sering memisahkan kita, hingga aku hanya bisa berencanamu di WhatsApp. Aku kesal dengan waktu yang tak pernah berhenti bergerak. Berang sejenak agar ku bisa menikmati tawamu. Ingin ku berdiri di sebelahmu, menggenggam erat jari-jarimu, mendengarkan lagu Sheila on Seven seperti waktu itu. Saat kau di sisiku, dan tunggulah aku di sana memecahkan. Bertanya-tanya, ingin ku bakar dia yang sering mention-mentionan denganmu di Twitter. Namun kau selalu meyakinkanku untuk tumbuhkan percaya, bukan rasa curiga. Dan tunggulah aku di sana memecahkan.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
If you visit the city of Balikpapan in East Kalimantan, you will meet a must-try snack called pisang gapit. The typical Balikpapan cuisine is made from bananas, specifically the saba or cooking banana. The banana is first pinched, then flattened, and grilled over the charcoal. Because during the cooking process, banana have to be pinched or gapit in Banjar and Kutai languages, the snack is named by locals as pisang gapit, which literally means pinch or clamp banana. Usually pisang gapit sellers use special clamps to flatten the bananas and burn them. The clamp shape is similar to a book that can be open and closed. Once perfectly grilled, bananas cannot be enjoyed immediately. They must be cut first into pieces and dosed with a special sauce to enjoy. The sauce is made from a mix of brown sugar, coconut milk, cornstarch, and jackfruit. When eaten, their taste is truly appetizing, especially if enjoyed when the rain comes with a cup of tea or coffee. Pisang gapit sellers can easily be found in Balikpapan. They usually sell on the roadside at noon. If you are interested in tasting pisang gapit, please come to the bank of the Mahakam River or across the Kebun Sayur Presidential Instruction Market, Balikpapan. There you will find many pisang gapit sellers in a row, selling their snacks for 5,000 to 10,000 rupiah or around 3 cent to 6 cents per portion.
Thank you, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, the Borobudur Authority Implementating Agency, or BPOB, will hold the Java Blues and Roots Music Festival on 23rd and 24th September 2023 at Borobudur Highland, Purworejo, Central Java. This blues music festival will be arranged with an intimate concept with the combinations of camping, Adyatama Tourism and Creative Economy main expert of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nia Nischaya said. With the theme Discover Your Adventure, the Java Blues and Roots Music Festival will be held by combining music concert with camping activities. The theme of the Java Blues and Roots Music Festival is Discover Your Adventure. Furthermore, this concert is of course to strengthen the music ecosystem and encourage the movement of tourists in the Borobudur Authority Zone by combining music concert with camping activities in the Menori Hills, which will offer a different and unique tourist experience and way to enjoy good music. Listeners, the Java Blues and Roots Music Festival is targeted to be attended by around 300 to 400 people. The highlight of the event will be held on September 23rd from 2 p.m. Western Indonesian Time to September 24th at 11 a.m. Western Indonesian Time. Director of Finance, General and Public Communications, BPOB, Ramlan Kamarulo stated that the Java Blues and Roots Festival will feature approximately 500 local and national artists or bands such as Gugun Blues, Jazz, Barry Likumahua, Adrian Adiotomo, as well as Saran and Nissan from the Blues Community Indonesia. We will feature approximately 500 local, national, and international artists or bands, and our main quest stars are Gugun Blues Jazz, Barry Likumahua and Adrian Adiotomo from the USA, and Sarah and Nissan from the Indonesian Blues Community. Apart from enjoying blues music while camping, the Java Blues and Roots Music Festival also holds these areas of other interesting events, including sharing sessions, jamming sessions, creative economy product booth, bonfires, outdoor grills. The ticket price is 100,000 Indonesian rupiah for spectators and 250,000 rupiah for overnight stays per tent in the BOB Authority Zone, Delano Glamping. Previously, to promote this blues music event, pre-event were held in the form of mini-concert in Yogyakarta, Purwokerto, and Purworejo, press conference, tourism awareness campaign, and socializations of Sabta Pesona, seven elements of Indonesian tourism product, security, order, cleanliness, coolness, beauty, friendliness, and memories.
Perjalanan membawamu bertemu denganku, ku bertemu kamu. Sepertimu yang ku cari, konon aku juga seperti yang kau cari. Ku kira kita asam dan garam, dan kita bertemu di belanga. Kisah yang ternyata tak seindah itu.
kita kan bersama. Begitu banyak yang sama latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala. Kukira ini kan mudah kau aku jadi kita. Kasih sayangmu membekas, redam kini sudah pijar istimewa. Entah apa maksud dunia tentang ujung cerita kita tak bersama. Semoga rindu ini menghilang. Konon katanya waktu sembuhkan. Akan adakah lagi yang sepertimu? Kukira kita akan bersama. Begitu banyak yang sama latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala. Kukira ini kan mudah kau aku jadi kita. Kau melanjutkan perjalananmu. Lanjutkan perjalananku. Kukira kita akan bersama. Begitu banyak yang sama latarmu dan latarku. Kukira ini kan mudah kau aku jadi kita. Kukira kita akan bersama. Hati-hati di jalan.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back again to Music Corner. And of course, I will present to you a wonderful song known as the 90s singers in Indonesia. Here is Alda Risma. Alda Risma debuted with a song entitled Aku Tak Biasa or I'm Not Used to It. It is the first single or her debut album released in 1998. Aku Tak Biasa, written by Rudy Loho, brought Alda the Best Woman Pop Solo Artist Award at Anugrah Musik Indonesia. The popularity of the Aku Tak Biasa made other singers recycle the song. One of them was Syahrini in 2010. Well, listener, here is Aku Tak Biasa by Alda Risma.
Aku tak biasa bila ku tak mendengar. selalu. Aku tak biasa bila tak memeluk ibu. Aku tak biasa bila aku tidur tanpa kamu. Aku tak biasa. Aku tak biasa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
It's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.